Today is found in the first book of Kings, chapter 17, beginning with the 17th verse, and also the 18th chapter. We left off with our lesson speaking unto you about Elijah, how wonderfully that God preserved Elijah, the widow and her son, in their home by giving unto them that the meal in the barrel did not waste, and neither did the cruse of oil fail. For days and years they were fed by God miraculously. They were then richly blessed in this respect, in the difference between other people who were suffering tremendously under this judgment that God had brought upon the 10 tribes of Israel. And we find that in the midst of this, God came and struck the son of this widow. For we read that the son of this woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. In the midst of this blessing that God was giving unto Elijah and this woman and her son, he visited her. In the day of prosperity, we should be very careful, for God has set over and against us the day of adversity. Things were going very good in this home. This woman was being provided for by God, and her son and Elijah likewise. And now suddenly there comes sickness. My hearers, our bodies are subject to all sorts of diseases in and through sin. And each probably listening to me has, in a period of their life, had sickness. Some of us have been sick nigh unto death, and God has restored us and given us our health back again. Oh, how thankful we should be unto this good God. And many people likewise are sick at the present time. There are some of our number, one in the hospital, some in their homes, who are very sick. What maketh you and I to differ? Only the goodness of God over us. Some of you listening to me have had likewise a similar experience, probably as this widow had. Her son became sick, her only son. Probably you had children. Probably you had a brother or a sister. They became sick, very sick. Sickness in the home causes much trouble, much anxiety, and much fear that the party that is sick might die. This sickness in the home has been prevalent throughout the world since Adam fell. Had he not fell, there never would have been anybody that ever had become sick. There wouldn't be any sickness, there wouldn't be any misery, there wouldn't be any hospitals, there wouldn't be any doctors necessary. But sickness has come in many of your homes. You have experienced it, and you know what this woman was going through at the present time. She was a widow, and it was her only son, the only one she had. And now what happened? It says his sickness was so sore that there was no breath in him. He died. He passed away. Death came. What a blow. What an awful thing this was for this widow. She had lost her husband. Now she lost her only son. How many of you listening to me have had this? You've had a partner in life, a wife, a husband. You've had maybe a son or a daughter, a brother or a sister. They had been very, very sick, and they likewise died. Death is certain, my hearers, with each and every one of us. We know not the hour thereof, it came very swiftly upon this son of this widow. And when death comes, who can describe what goes on to those that survive, those that are immediate relatives of such? Oh, the sorrow, the grief, the brokenness of spirit that such pass through. Only those who have experienced it know it. And now this poor widow, she lost her only son. Oh, my hearers, Elijah was dwelling in the home with her. It does not appear as if she had even time to request of him that he would pray for this son, that he might be restored. It came so quickly, so swiftly. This teaches us, my hearers, how quick death can come upon us. Oh, death is a terrible enemy. It's called the last enemy. And no one can overcome this enemy. But when someone dies of our immediate relatives, then all hope is cut off. We sink down in sorrow and in grief. And now when this happened to this son of this widow, we find that she spake unto Elijah and said unto him, O thou man of God, hast thou brought my sins to remembrance, that by this thou hast been the cause that my son has been slain? This woman is given to remember her sins, and she lays the blame upon Elijah as if he was the cause of it, that God came and visited her and took away her son. When death comes into our families, it's a mercy if we can look back in our life and remember our sins. Death, eternity, meeting God. Oh, how shall we appear before him with our sins? Impossible. But my hearers, this woman, as she was given to remember her sins, and she thought that it was for her sins that God had brought this upon her. And Elijah, he knew no answer for her. He said nothing to her, but said unto her, give me thy son. And he took her out of her bosom. And he went up into the loft, into the room where he resided. He took the child upstairs. To whom else could Elijah go with this trouble, with this loss that this widow had suffered? You may be sure that Elijah, he was deeply attached to this young boy. He was the only son in this home. And he probably was like a father to it. He loved his son. And in compassion and in sorrow, he took this child and he went up into the loft. And he laid the child upon the bed. Elijah, who can describe his feelings concerning this young son? And when he laid the child on the bed, then we find that Elijah, he stretched himself out over this child as if he could infuse life back into this child by his warmth and by his breath. Elijah stretched himself out three times over this child. And Elijah, he began to pray. And he said, O Lord my God, hast thou brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourn? Elijah, he called upon his God. I like that verse. O Lord My God, it's enough to be jealous of, my hearers, if you may be able to put in this little word, my. Have you ever done it in life? Are there any listening to me that could go and say, oh Lord, my God? Have you a desire that he may be your God? Have you a desire that you could approach him in this way? All the nearness, the faith, all this tenderness that Elijah felt in his soul towards his God, the nearness he had to him. Oh, Lord, my God, he says. Elijah was a child of God. Elijah was a prophet of God. In this, he claimed his relationship to this great God, my God. And he spake and argued with God, hast thou brought this evil upon this widow with whom I sojourn? He has been dwelling with this woman. It had been going good with him and with this woman and with this son, but now, what had God done? He had brought this evil upon them. Evil, spoken of in Scripture many times, means sin, means wickedness. As we read in the preceding chapter, that the kings of Israel did very wickedly in the sight of God. They transgressed his commandments. They did not obey him. Evil again, my hearers, is in every one of our hearts. The hearts of the sons of men are filled with evil, my heart as well as yours. But this is not the evil that is meant here. The evil that is meant here is God visiting and bringing punishments and judgments upon individuals as well as upon his people. We read of Job, he said unto his wife, shall we not receive good from the Lord and also evil? The Lord himself says in Amos, I create the good and I create the evil. Is there an evil in the city that the Lord hath not done it? This evil is the evil that is spoken of in this way by Elijah. This was an evil brought upon this poor woman. And he begged God that God would let the soul of this young child come back into it again. Oh Lord my God, he says again, let the soul of this child come back into it again. This teaches us that the soul, when it passes away, is in a state of immortality, a separate state, that the soul was not dead, but was still living. And Elijah prayed God that he would let this soul come back into this child. Elijah had such faith, so strong, I say it in reverence, that he would not let God say no to him. Oh Lord my God, he says, let the soul of this child come back into it. And God heard Elijah's voice and let the soul come back into this child. And the child revived. We don't read of anything like this before this in the Bible. This is the first time that you read that anybody was restored back to life. But this does not give you and I that privilege, if someone dies, that we should go to God and pray to him that he would let the soul of this departed person come back into it again. David, when his child was very sick, he fasted and he prayed. But when it was dead, he did not go to God and beg God that the soul of this child would come back into it again. Elijah was a man that had the gift of performing miracles. David didn't have that gift. Elijah was heard by God. Not only did he hear the voice of Elijah, but he likewise answered him. Oh, my hearers, Elijah was a man of prayer. This is spoken of him by James, that he prayed and the heavens were shut up, and that he prayed again and the heavens gave rain. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. But here in this room, in this loft, this great, this glorious, and this divine being who we worship, he listened to the voice of his servant, and he let life come back into this child. Oh, I could picture this man, Elijah, that God heard him, that God answered him, the gratitude, the humbleness, the brokenness of heart that Elijah experienced in this room with this child, that God heard him and answered him. Oh, we cannot express it in words what went on in the heart of Elijah. And he took the child and he brought it downstairs to its mother. The mother in grief, in sorrow, you could be sure of this, she had lost of this son. And here comes Elijah with this child alive again. Oh, what a surprise this must have been to this mother, and what a change must have taken place within her. From sorrow and grief, she was lifted up to joy and wonder and amazement at this great God and what he had done. And Elijah, he said unto her, "See, thy son liveth." Oh, my hearers, have you any children? Use that are parents and have children in the Bible class. Oh, I would request you that you would stretch out yourselves in prayer before God, that he may come down into your children's souls and implant a new life therein. Oh, cease not to pray, my hearers, for the souls of your dear children. It is God that must give us to pray. This, what took place in this room, was from God. This man, Elijah, had a divine impulse that caused him to take the child and run upstairs with it. It was from God that he was given to pray. And it was God that heard and God that answered. That same God, Elijah's God, he lives yet, my hearers. Oh, let us as a congregation, as a Bible class, let us stretch out ourselves in prayer unto this glorious being in heaven above, that he may infuse divine life into our children's souls and into your own soul. He will be inquired for it, and he is the only one that is able to do this. Oh, what a mercy it would be if you could say, as Elijah said to this mother, "See, thy son liveth." If you could say to others, "See, my son, my daughter, they've been born again, they have a new life." I do think that if this should take place in any one of the children's hearts, you as parents, if you had that this life, you would be so jealous. Oh, what a wonder if God makes choice of any of our children. and puts a new life in them. But this mother, as she had her very doubts about Elijah, when her son passed away, she as much as laid the blame upon Elijah by saying to him, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God, that thou art come to call my sins to remembrance and to slay my son?" But now we find her speaking differently. Now she says, "I know by this," she says, "that thou art a man of God, and that the word that is in thy mouth is the word of the Lord." Oh, my hearers, how different she was now. She believed before that he was a man of God, didn't she? When he called to her that she should go and fetch a little water, and then he said, "Fetch me likewise a cake to eat." Then she disclosed unto him her case. And when he told her that the water would not fail, and neither would the cruse of oil fail, and that the bread would not fail likewise, then she believed him. She believed him that he was a prophet of God and that the word of God was in his mouth. But when this took place, this she couldn't understand. This she couldn't fathom. This brought her into doubt, into unbelief. This made her think that God had sent this servant for that purpose, that she should be punished for her sins. Oh, my hearers, but when God performed this miracle, then we find that she believed again, that he was a prophet of God. Have any of you experienced this spiritually? Oh, my hearers, this woman is a type of the Church of Christ. Or there may have been a time in some of your lives when likewise this child, the living child inside here, that God has instilled in your souls, that began to die. Those breathings, those longings, those desires, oh, that filial feeling that you had of loving and fearing God seemed to die away. And when this takes place, my hearers, then we, like this woman, we begin to doubt. We begin to think everything is wrong. Especially when sin rises up and gets the upper hand over us and we cannot overcome it. Then we think, it could not be true. It's wrong. I deceived myself. Oh, how many times hasn't God's dear people experienced this in their life? Then they doubt and fear and are filled with unbelief. And in this state and in this condition, they cast themselves so far away that they can't think that God ever began anything with them. Because of their sins and their iniquities, which are so prevalent in their very hearts and in their lives. And then it pleases God to bring them again under the means of grace. And the same minister who before was such a source of comfort to them, who was their instructor, who was used as God's mouthpiece for their souls, is again given to preach the word. And as they listen, the word again becomes the word of God unto them. They had been under the ministry many months maybe, and nothing fell, nothing struck them. But this time was their time, and God used the ministry, and they could again believe that the word that they heard from the mouth of the minister was the word of God. Because it became that for them. Has this ever been your experience, my hearers? This woman was again given to believe that this prophet was God's mouthpiece, that what he spake was the word of God for her. And now Elijah, he lived in this home for a long time. And we read in the first verse of the next chapter that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah in the third year, saying unto him, Arise, go and show thyself unto Ahab, for I will bring rain upon the earth. Christ speaks that it was 3.5 years that there was no rain upon the earth in this particular area. It says here in the third year. This should be in the fourth year by rights. This is what the commentary said, it was the fourth year. But that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah. And Elijah, he had been living here in concealment. God had hid him. And God called him now to show himself publicly unto Ahab. Elijah, he would not move unless God came to him with his voice and instructed him. And Elijah, when he received this commandment, Elijah went forth to show himself unto Ahab in obedience to God's command. But this word of the Lord unto Elijah took away all fear of man from his soul and from his mind. He had no fear of Ahab, that he would injure him, that he would do him harm. No. This, I believe, when he got these words, brought him into the state where the psalmist was in Psalm 27. For this psalmist, he says there, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Even though a host should encamp against me, I will not be afraid. Elijah had that confidence that God was with him and that God wanted him to go and show himself unto this king. And Elijah, in obedience to this, went forth to show himself unto Ahab. And now Ahab, he was a wicked king. He was married to a woman that likewise was a queen, and she was an idolater. This man Ahab, he had a beautiful home, and he lived in the city of Samaria. The Bible says that the famine was very sore in Samaria. This teaches us what the result is of a famine. There was no water to drink. There was a scarcity of food. And people were becoming sick. People were dying. The animals, they likewise were dying. It was a sad state in the city of Samaria. Samaria likewise was a province of one of the 10 tribes. Matthew Henry says that there was no famine in Judah, in Jerusalem. Judah and Jerusalem still serve God, but these 10 tribes, they had fallen away and had served the idols that this king and his wife had brought into the country. And this famine was very sore. And now this king, he called unto his governor of his house, Obadiah. This Obadiah, the Bible says, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, then Obadiah, he took 50 and 50 of these prophets, 100, and hid them in caves and fed them with bread and water. Obadiah, he feared the Lord greatly. Obadiah then was a governor He was in charge of the house of Ahab. Obadiah dwelling in the midst of this house. One that feared the Lord greatly. One that was very pious. One that was very holy. One that served God and loved God and feared God and walked with God. He lived in this house amidst all the wickedness, amidst all the idolatry that was going on therein. Even with Jezebel, who hated the prophets of the Lord and sought to have them all slain. But the fear of God caused Obadiah to take 100 of them and hide them from her and feed them with bread and water. The love that Obadiah had to God's servants, to these prophets. These prophets, they were from the school of prophets, which was still in existence when Samuel was upon earth. He had instituted this school, as you know, and the school was still there. And these prophets, they were not like Elijah, who was an eminent prophet who stood out in the midst of this wickedness and everything that was going on. And these prophets, they went from home to home. And they instructed the people. They had religious services in houses. And these prophets were the ones that Jezebel was seeking to have put away, so that religion would be extinct and there would be only one religion. That would be the religion that Jezebel had brought into the country, worshiping Baal. And now this man, Obadiah, he was not discharged. He was not harmed or injured by Ahab. Oh no, Ahab had great respect for him. You may believe that if there's a child of God that has the fear of God in his soul, he will stand out in the midst of such a time as it was when Ahab reigned. This man, Obadiah, he was called upon by Ahab to go forth and seek if they could not find grass to save the beast that they would not lose them all. Ahab, he was more concerned about the horses and about the mules which he used for his luxury than for the sheep, the goats, the oxen, which the people needed to eat to keep alive. This he was more concerned about. The time was very bad. There wasn't hardly anything to eat or to drink. You would think that this king, he would have called on his people to repent, to return back to God, to seek God that he would take away the judgment which was upon them. But he never sent any message like that to anybody. He was more concerned about the beast than about the people and about how that they would exist. He sent then Obadiah out to find grass. And to prove that there was such a scarcity of it, he went himself. The king, he had plenty of servants that he could have sent, but he went himself. But this was likewise good on his part, for then he could see what this famine had brought to pass in his land. And so Obadiah, he went one way, and Ahab went another way. And now we find that Elijah, he meets Obadiah. And Obadiah knew him. And when Obadiah came near to him, he fell down on the face of the ground, and he reverenced this man, Elijah. He knew that he was a prophet of God. And he said unto him, art thou that my Lord Elijah? He says, I am. but go tell thy Lord that Elijah is here. In other words, don't call me Lord. I'm not a Lord. You have a Lord. That's the king. You can call him Lord, but not me. The prophets were called seers. They were not called lords. But Obadiah called him Lord. And now this man, Obadiah, showed his respect by falling down before this prophet. And when Elijah requested him to go to tell Ahab that he was here, Obadiah, he's full of excuses. He doesn't want to go. He's afraid that if he went and Elijah did not mean what he said, that it wasn't true what he said, that he would not be found by Ahab when he came back, then it would cost him his life. For Ahab, he had sent throughout all the tribes and throughout all the adjacent nations and kingdoms seeking after Elijah. And he had went into these kingdoms and tribes, and when he didn't believe that they were telling the truth, he made them make an oath that if they did find him, they would bring him to him. They had to swear to it that they would do this. So intent he was on finding Elijah, not to kill him. Oh, no. No, he had such a superstition about Elijah, just like Balak had from Balaam. You remember that history? Balak thought if Balaam cursed a nation, well, it was cursed. And if he blessed, it was blessed. This is the kind of religion that this king had, Ahab. He thought, well, he had said, according to my word, there would be no rain upon the earth. So now he thought it'll have to be according to his word that there'll be rain again. So he was looking for him to come and take away this judgment. This is why they sought him so far. I'm way past my time here. I'm sorry that I can't go on any further with it. Next week we'll pick it up from this point, the Lord willing. The Lord bless my feeble instruction to your heart and soul for his name's sake. That's all.